It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
basically, any type of civil legal question. Now, I will say that ideally, you know, we're going to be not necessarily having folks answer questions, say, on, oh, personal injury. But in areas where low-income and modest means Virginians have questions about landlord-tenant, about creditor issues, about divorce, custody, those types of questions which most frequently come up and which legal assistance is most often needed or most frequently needed, that's what Virginia Free Legal Answers is designed to help.
Carl Doss, the Virginia State Bar's Director of Access to Legal Services, explains virginia.freelegalanswers.org, a pro bono website to allow low-income Virginians to ask civil legal questions to be answered by volunteer lawyers. And during this week's News You Can Use, we explain how the Save Our Social Security Act proves conservatives lost the Social Security fight. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 294, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Earlier this summer, lawmakers introduced a bill to save our Social Security that reads like a desperate attempt to appeal to the growing movement to expand the program. The proposal, introduced by a Wisconsin Republican, is called the Save Our Social Security Act of 2016, or SOS Act. The bill includes many of the stealth benefit cuts that conservatives have been pushing for years. It calls for increasing the retirement age from 66 to 69. Even a one-year increase in the retirement age is equivalent to a 7% cut in benefits for all retirees, so raising the full retirement age to 69 would cost millions of Americans thousands of dollars in benefits. It also would have a disproportionate impact on low-income workers, who get a larger share of their income from Social Security. The bill also includes the infamous chained CPI, a measure of inflation that would chip away at Social Security benefits over time. In the long run, the new formula would cut earned benefits by an additional $1,000 a year. However, the new proposal does more than just cut Social Security. It includes something few congressional Republicans were advocating just a few years ago. The bill calls for raising the cap on the payroll tax that funds Social Security benefits from $118,500 to $308,750. In other words, an additional $190,250 in annual income now would be subject to the Social Security tax of 6.2% on workers and 6.2% on employers. In short, the wealthiest Americans would be asked to contribute a bit more to fund the program. The bill also increases benefits for the oldest beneficiaries and creates a minimum benefit for beneficiaries who are at or near the poverty level. These modest concessions underscore just how far the Social Security debate has moved over the past few years. Progressives, led by groups like Social Security Works, Organized Labor, and the Congressional Progressive Caucus, have shifted from defense to offense. In 2013, New America released a comprehensive plan to expand Social Security. Last year, one of the program's staunchest advocates, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, rallied all but two Senate Democrats to support a resolution to expand and protect Social Security. And in June, the president publicly endorsed expansion. The SOS Act is nowhere close to the emerging progressive consensus around Social Security. But for the first time, conservatives are cloaking benefit cuts under the rhetoric of strengthening Social Security. The Center on Social Security Policy has moved, and conservatives don't know how to catch up. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and we are speaking with Carl Doss, who is the director of the Virginia State Bar's Access to Legal Services. And we'll be talking today about a new online program that will allow people to get free legal answers in Virginia. It's called freelegalanswers.org, and Carl will be talking to us about this, which is going to happen very soon. Welcome to the show, Carl.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Very well. So tell us briefly, what is Virginia Free Legal Answers?
Basically, virginia.freelegalanswers.org is part of a 40-state initiative that is being offered through the American Bar Association. What it will do, it is an online pro bono question and answer website.
And what problem is this online pro bono website trying to tackle?
Basically, the problems are pretty far-reaching. I mean, if you look nationwide, 80% of the civil legal needs of the poor, both in Virginia and nationwide, go unmet. You know, individuals who have access to an attorney are far more likely to prevail in their legal matters than someone who is representing themselves. Just in the state, we have over 1 million people who are living in poverty, and taking that a step further, that means that 1 in 8 Virginians technically would be eligible for free legal services in Virginia, but we don't have the resources. 1 in 8 Virginians basically would be eligible for Virginia legal aid services. However, we also know that legal aid's struggling in terms of just being able to keep pace in terms of the funding. The fact is that there's, you know, if we look at the state of Virginia, we've got basically 130, 135 attorneys covering a land area of 43,000 square miles, which is just insane from my perspective. But then you also have the issue of where legal aid is unable to meet the needs of, you know, these underserved Virginians, where does the slack get picked up? Right now, the answer is pro bono. And if we look at pro bono, we know that Rule 6.1 of the Rules of Professional Conduct say that attorneys are supposed to basically devote 2% of their professional time, or about 40 hours per year, towards pro bono public service. We know that, obviously, legal aid is a great source for pro bono, that they keep very accurate records of the hours and the services that are being provided. We know that nonprofit legal services organizations may or may not be quite as accurate in terms of their data collection. And we also know that there are a lot of attorneys who are doing ad hoc pro bono, where basically they are just, you know, if someone says, hey, Mr. and Ms. Attorney, you know, I've got a legal issue I need some help with. Are you willing to take this at a, you know, for free or significantly reduced fee? And that attorneys who do that, we have no way of capturing that information right now. But to the best of our knowledge, if every lawyer in Virginia were to be in compliance with the aspirational goal of Rule 6.1, we should have approximately 1 million hours of pro bono legal services being provided. What we know is that, you know, there's roughly 40,000 hours being done through legal aid. There may be another 25,000, and that's a real soft, fuzzy number, coming out of nonprofit legal service organizations. And based on a previous study that the ABA did, we're extrapolating. We're saying there's maybe another 25,000 coming out of, you know, ad hoc pro bono services. And based on that, we're at maybe 10% of what that aspirational goal is, 90,000 hours.
So Virginia.freelegalanswers.org is a way for attorneys to do pro bono. What types of questions will people be able to ask and get answered?
Basically, any type of civil legal question. Now, I will say that ideally, you know, we're going to be not necessarily having folks answer questions, say, on, oh, personal injury. But in areas where low-income and modest means, Virginians have questions about landlord-tenant, about creditor issues, about divorce, custody, those types of questions which most frequently come up and which legal assistance is most often needed or most frequently needed. That's what Virginia Free Legal Answers is designed to help.
So it sounds like the standard legal aid type issues, consumer law, family law, housing law, perhaps employment law.
Yes.
And who would be eligible to use this system?
Basically, there is a financial criteria, eligibility criteria. That is 250% of the federal poverty guidelines, which is higher than most legal aid and pro bono legal service organizations provide. Basically, what that translates to approximately is for a single person an income of $29,000 annually.
Now, do you have to be a resident of the state of Virginia to use this service?
Yes, this is a service that is intended for Virginians, so residents of the state. As I said, we are one of 40 states that will be launching Free Legal Answers websites. And hopefully that these other states, our neighboring states, I know Maryland and Tennessee, for example, North Carolina, are all participating in Free Legal Answers as well. And so their residents will have access to a similar website.
So this is in operation in other states. So obviously Virginia can use them as a model. So when this launches, and we'll talk about that shortly, how does someone register for this?
Well, basically, there's a registration process for attorneys. There's a registration process for consumers. For the consumer, they would log on to the website, virginia.freelegalanswers.org, once it's up and running, and they would have to answer some basic questions. First, they would, of course, enter their name, address, you know, create a login password so they can access the site. They would then also provide information concerning their income. It's a soft income or financial check. So checking account, whether they have stocks, whether they own their home. And based on that, a determination will be made as to whether or not they're eligible for the services. If they're not, they will be immediately directed to another page on the site, which will give them information about other resources that are available. One such resource may be the Virginia Lawyer Referral Service. You know, just as I said, Virginia VA LegalAid.org is another resource. The new Virginia State Court pro bono, or pro se litigate rather, portal, that'll also be a resource that's available to them.
And on the attorney side, who is eligible to register for the program?
Any attorney who is barred in Virginia and in good standing.
And I assume there's a registration process for them as well. How does that work?
There is. Right now, because the website technically isn't up, we're supposed to be doing a soft launch a little later this week or early next week, which will be the week of the 15th of August. What they have to do is, or what we've asked them to do, is to basically start building a cadre of attorneys. Is we have asked attorneys to submit an attorney interest form. What they would provide is, again, their name, their work address, their state bar number, and areas of interest, you know, where they'd like to be able to provide some assistance. Once they've submitted that form, that allows us at the bar to conduct a record check to make sure that they're in good standing and to, you know, make sure that they don't have any outstanding bar complaints against them. To date, we have received 170 attorney interest forms, which is a magnificent response. The ABA had recommended that we try shoot for 100 attorneys, and then they kind of dropped that down to 75. So we've basically doubled what they've asked for attorneys to have to start, states to have for their attorneys to kick off this website. So I'm real pleased with the response.
Sounds like a great start. Go ahead.
Oh, I was also going to say, once the site goes live, the attorneys will then complete the registration process. They'll go, like the consumers, create a login code and a password, log on, basically acknowledge, you know, what services the website will provide. It is not, you know, to be used to fish for clients. It is really providing, you know, basic pro bono assistance, answering a question, maybe a couple of questions that a consumer has on a civil legal matter. And once they have completed answering the question, the representation ends.
So take us through the mechanics of this. How does it work after you've got a consumer registered, you've got attorneys registered? What happens next? How does a consumer post a question? Lead us through that process.
Okay. So the consumer has a question. Let's say that they have a question concerning how to modify a visitation order. What they would do is they would go on to the website. They would log in. They would come to basically their landing page. Once on that landing page, they could type in their question. They could attach, let's say if they wanted to attach the most recent custody order, they could attach that as a PDF file, provide information concerning the critical date. When is this needed? When is the court date? When is, if it's not the next court date, when would they like to have an answer by it? They put that in. And then they also just give it kind of a brief, you know, maybe 4 or 5 word heading, visitation question in Henrico County, something like that. Posted on the website. The questions, once they're posted, go into a queue, and they're organized according to the type of legal issue. So presumably this would be under family or domestic relations, custody visitation. And at that point, the question's up there in the queue. Attorneys who have registered can check on their, you know, at their convenience, in their free time, go onto the website, go immediately to the queue. They'll see question. There's a question there, you know, custody visitation question in Henrico County. Preview the question. And just on the preview, which provides just a real basic summary of, you know, what the issue is, they can decide whether or not they want to take the question or they can pass on it. If they pull the question down in the queue, it's out. So it's off the menu. And at that point, the attorney do whatever research he or she wants to do. If they want to do research, maybe they know the answer automatically. They type in the answer, post the answer back on the queue. The consumer will receive an email saying your question has been answered. They can pull the answer. And if there's a need for further clarification or communication, the attorney and the consumer can exchange clarifying emails so that the attorney can answer the question. But once the attorney has basically done his or her duty, that they have answered the question to the best of their ability, they close the communication.
And so does the consumer know who the attorney is, and vice versa, does the attorney know who the consumer is?
The attorney will know who the consumer is. The consumer's name, the name of the opposing party, will be disclosed. If the consumer knows the, you know, in terms of what the case title is, they'll have that information as well. That's so that the attorney can do their conflicts check. But the name of the attorney is anonymous. What the consumer will see is volunteer lawyer. Every attorney who answers the question will be given the title volunteer lawyer. And the only way that the attorney's name is disclosed basically is if the attorney wishes to do so.
So is there any limit on the number of questions that a consumer can post in any given period of time?
They can post 3 questions per year. They can, in terms of the exchange with the attorney on a particular question, there's no real limit, so they can have a back and forth in terms of clarifying questions. But 3 questions concerning 3 separate legal issues in the course of the year. Let me add one other thing. One of the many questions that has come up is the issue of malpractice insurance. Attorneys want to know, you know, am I covered? I want to do this, but what's the malpractice situation? Under the website, the ABA, through the National Legal Aid and Defenders Association Insurance Program, is providing malpractice insurance. So as long as the attorney is answering questions on the website, their assistance is covered by that malpractice insurance. If they take the representation beyond the website, let's say they answer the question and say, hey, you know what, I think I want to handle your case, they're no longer covered under that policy. They're on their own rider at that time.
Okay. Now, what happens if a question has been posted and it doesn't get answered? What next?
If questions aren't answered, basically this falls on me as the administrator to make sure that questions do not sit in the queue for too long. So what I will periodically be doing is running through the queue, seeing which questions have been there for, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I'll reach out to the attorneys who have registered and say, hey, we've got a question, concerning, a custody visitation matter in Henrico. It hasn't been answered. It's been up for 3 weeks. The deadline that the consumer indicated is coming up real soon. Would somebody please take it? You know, and just ask. That's all I can do. And if it goes unanswered after 30 days, or if it's a sooner deadline, I have to advise the consumer that the question has gone unanswered. Here are some other resources that you should look into.
All right. And so has this free legal answer has been tried in other states? Can you share their experience with us?
Yes, there are 6 states who actually have a free legal answers website or some variation of that title. The 6 states that are already doing it will all be freelegalanswers.org websites come August of this year. But the 6 states, the first state is Tennessee. Tennessee has been doing this now for over 6 years. They started it off, has been a tremendous success. Over 11,000, actually 12,000 questions have been answered over that 6-year period. Over 600 attorneys have taken questions.
That is very impressive. And there's got to be some cost to all of this just for the servers and everything. So how is this all financed?
Well, interesting. The cost, let me just say this, is when this whole issue came up and Virginia was approached by the ABA about possibly becoming a freelegalanswers.org host, we were told that there would be no cost to the state, which was really a big deal, obviously, because at the state bar, we're not big on raising dues of members of the bar. So, and part of our selling point on this is that, you know, your bar dues won't go up. This is actually being funded by sponsors, both local and national. But the host, we are a portal for Free Legal Answers. The actual host of it is in Chicago with the ABA, and they've hired a national administrator who will make sure that all the bells and whistles and everything works properly, and we're just hosting a Virginia-specific portal for the service. Each of the state websites will look pretty much the same.
And so, final question, when does all of this launch?
Our soft launch, as I mentioned earlier, will be either the end of this week or the beginning of next week. And the end of this week being the week of, August 8th, 9th, somewhere in there, or next week, August 15th. Soft launch means basically that attorneys can register on the site and they can tour it, they can play with it, basically, and see how it works. August 22nd is the date for the public launch. And the way that the ABA is rolling this out is that half the states will launch on August 22nd, The other half will launch on October 4th.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Carl Doss. He is the Virginia State Bar's Director of Access to Legal Services, and we have been talking about virginia.freelegalanswers.org, which is scheduled for a launch so that people can register, post legal questions, and get legal answers from pro bono attorneys for free. Thank you so much for being on the show, Carl.
Thank you, Marty.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Out of 200 million credit reports in the country, 40 million have errors, 20 million of them serious errors. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when consumer protection attorney Len Bennett talks about the massive violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act and what consumers can do about it. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.